it's the first Monday of the month, do you know what Wisconsin Public Radio is up to? Well, you will after this edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The director of Wisconsin Public Radio, Mike Crane, joins us just about every first Monday of the month to share news with you about Wisconsin Public Radio and to answer your questions and to respond to your feedback. We'll talk about the latest on Wisconsin Public Radio programming and operations and address your questions and concerns at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page at The Joy Cardine Show or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hello, Mike.
Hi, good to be here as usual.
It's good to have you here. So I've been gone for the past week or more, but
we've changed everything.
Yeah, everything's different. Everything's different. No, but there is a new voice that is hosting to the best of our knowledge now. What's going on?
New to the hosting role, and that's Ann Strainchamps, who's a very gifted producer who was the creator of our Wisconsin Life series not long ago, was most recently hosting 45 North. Well, we removed that program from the schedule in order to free up the time that Ann needs to be the host of one of our nationally distributed shows. And that's to the best of our knowledge. Jim Fleming is semi-more retiring than before. I don't know how to say that.
We'll still hear him on Chapter a Day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And also, actually, we'll hear, because we have a strip of to the best of our knowledge programs in the evenings here on the Ideas Network. We'll also hear Jim on some of the archived programs that will continue to play. And I'm glad of that on both fronts. Jim's very talented, and so is Ann. And I think she's going to do an incredible job. We're also taking the occasion of a new host to have new theme music and some special new features to the show. I really enjoyed the name, the kind of behind-the-scenes name I heard it called, that the show now has some furniture, is what Mike Arnold said. And Mike Arnold's our director of content. And what he means is that there are features that essentially you can expect to find them there over the course of every show rather than being different every time. So the new features they're creating have the names Bookmarks, so that's about books, Dangerous Ideas. I like that. That excites me to hear what that'll be about. Audio Sidebars, meaning, you know, that sometimes there's sort of a side story that deserves something and that you can tell that just like you might be reading in a newspaper and see that there's a related story in the sidebar. That's the metaphor there. And then Watch This, and those are all kind of, as they've put it, snack-sized bites of ideas, books, and films they think listeners would like a taste of.
Very interesting. Yeah. So, and pop quiz, Mike, when can listeners and where can listeners find To the Best of Our Knowledge?
So it's on a lot on Wisconsin Public Radio because we produce it. So you can find it on the News and Classical Network on Saturday mornings, very early, 6 o'clock, but then Sunday morning at 9. So there's two different episodes there. And you can find it on the Ideas Network on Sunday afternoons and also on weeknights. And we have a lot of really great material built up over 25 years and very creative producers. Another difference in the show, by the way, is that the interviewers in the past haven't necessarily been heard very much. You're going to hear a lot more of the interviewers as they try to have a kind of a more casual approach in terms of the on-air sound. And so you'll hear more of those talented interviewers on the new shows as well.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. I did hear some yesterday afternoon and hosting, and it was enjoyable. I think tonight at 6, though, we are going to have some special programming on the Ideas Network. It is going to be a State of the Reunion, Rewriting Black History. We are going to be having some specials for Black History Month.
That's right. And the State of the Reunion is a really neat show that's come out in just the last couple of years. And we've been broadcasting some of them, and it's really great to have that. And so this evening at 6, we'll have Writing Black History and zeroing in on some alternative narratives of Black history. I like the comment in the program listing is that it will be deconstructing the popular perception of certain celebrated moments. And that's part of a series that for the next few weeks you'll hear State of the Reunion. Other programs as well. And Tuesdays we'll select certain To the Best of Our Knowledge programs that are appropriate to the month and so on.
And I know that it's not going to be on radio starting tonight, but the Wisconsin Public Radio series, Wisconsin Life, is going to be on TV.
You know, we have reason to feel almost like the pride of a parent in seeing Wisconsin Life come to TV. First, Ann Strainchamps, and then right now, Erica Janik have developed just a remarkable series of vignettes and truly Wisconsin stories that you hear on the radio. Sometimes here, like during Central Time or on your Friday morning segment, also heard during Morning Edition on the News and Classical Network and online at wisconsinlife.org, where you'll also find a lot of the video that they've been creating for this new TV series. And it's going to be throughout Wisconsin on public television. So all of the WPT stations and also Milwaukee Public Television premiering tonight at 8 and then for the rest of the month at 8 o'clock directly following Antiques Roadshow. And it's just really neat to see the pride of parent metaphor is that public radio created this series. And like happens with our children, they grow up to be even more than you'd ever imagined. I mean, the continued remarkable people we hear from on the radio and then the really neat people you'll see and hear from on public television tonight at 8. It's just really neat how it's grown beyond. We had certainly lots of imagination in inventing the series, but it's so much more now with radio and web and TV and so on. So I encourage people to tune in.
Oh, I do too. I know that I've had a sneak preview of some of the episodes that will be aired on the Wisconsin Life on TV, including, if I'm not mistaken, it was an animated feature on Sheep's Head that was written and voiced by former Madison Mayor Dave Cheslevich.
That's
so,
right.
I mean, it gives you an idea of, you know, Sheep's Head or, I don't know, the Old Fashioned or who knows, you know, in terms of content of these things.
Yeah, and I enjoyed that animation. I saw the same preview because as a more recent Wisconsin resident, that's a game that I hear about, but that is to me, as opaque as Bridge has seemed to be, you know, and in fact, you know, Dave gives you a bit of an idea of that, but it's a wonderfully told story and one of the things you'll see.
Well, as somebody who played Sheepshead as a child, I did relate to that particular episode. We are talking with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, about Wisconsin Public Radio, and we're welcoming your questions for him, your feedback for him, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Talk some about the Wisconsin Life TV series, which debuts tonight on Wisconsin Public Television. Talked about some of the changes that, to the best of our knowledge, is experiencing. Talked some about Black History Month programming. Let's talk about a Wisconsin Public Radio news series on the long-term unemployed. Mike, that's coming up this month?
That's right. This is probably one of the kinds of issues public radio is best suited to cover because it takes a lot to really understand what's going on. And it's certainly been in the news recently because of President Obama encouraging employers to hire the long-term unemployed, the people that have been unemployed for more than 6 months, who seem to be at a distinct disadvantage. And we'll have the opportunity to tell some of those stories of our neighbors and what they're experiencing in this area.
And we have many calls, so why don't we take a few?
Yeah.
Let's go to Diane in Milwaukee. Hello, Diane.
Good morning. I hate to throw a criticism your way, but I'm tired of wait, don't tell me being repeated over and over and over again. And the other one is To the Best of Our Knowledge, which I like, but they're old.
All right, so we're repeating things too much for Diane, I think.
And by old, Diane, are you thinking the topics are old or you don't want all the repeats? Or what? Tell me what you mean.
2010 stories, 2008 stories,
Mm-hmm. So you'd really like to have just the fresh stories.
Even the TED Radio Hour, which is a science series, has old stories in it. Can't you find something new? There must be some new science. Otherwise, just read Shakespeare or something.
Okay, thanks for the thoughts. Certainly, in both, I can't speak for sure about TED because that's a national public radio production. But I know that with To the Best of the Knowledge, we create typically between 55 and 65 new programs every year. And then we also take advantage of the archives. And I suspect, Diane, based on your comments, that you're a very heavy listener, and that's mm-hmm. wonderful. Many people don't listen quite so much, and so our sense is that some amount of repeating of old stories is probably not only okay, but maybe even desirable, because we put so much work into every single thing that we do, and the opportunity to repeat some does seem to be a good opportunity. And I know, as a very heavy listener myself to certain things, there are times where, for instance, I have this experience if I've been listening to Morning Edition all morning long, and I'll say to my wife, well, we heard the news around, because Morning Edition, for instance, is a two-hour program that is repeated a couple of times because actually originally it was because you needed to have a fresh 2 hours at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning in California. And so they just kept rolling the program over from Washington. And stations took advantage of that to have a longer morning show.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Dean in Cedarburg now. Hi, Dean.
Yeah, my concern is around the time of that news of the bridge scandal in New Jersey, why there was this Freedom Industry had that big chemical spill, and they just kind of glossed over the chemical spill. I would have liked to have heard a couple programs explaining how that came to pass, and nobody seemed to take that nearly as seriously.
Well, I can't. I know that there were some talk shows on the chemical spill in West Virginia, but I guess not enough for.
I remember a lot of coverage on it, but I certainly understand where Dean is coming from, in the sense that there are times when what they call the news cycle is such that one or another story tends to dominate, and certainly some of the domination of the story about the traffic jam scandal in New Jersey was simply because it had a factor of Schadenfreude, and you probably have run into that word, Joy. It's a fascinating word that basically, the way I understand it is the pleasure we get in seeing the falling down of someone prominent, you know,
the squirm factor.
Yeah. perhaps
knocking them off the pedestal.
That's exactly right. And that people actually get some pleasure from that in a way. And so seeing the possibility that Governor Christie, who had really seemed to be doing very well in his possible bid for the presidency, now has this significant mark on his record in terms of what may or may not have happened. And that's still an evolving story, and I'm sure we'll cover that. But also the environment's a big issue for many of our listeners and for our culture. And so it's no surprise we should also be covering that chemical spill that Dean was talking about.
And Dean, you can always suggest shows for our talk shows to do. We're always looking for suggestions. You can go to WPR.org, and there's places to email us. You can just email talk@WPR.org if you would like to. You can call us. You can post something on our Facebook page. We're always looking for ideas. But Wisconsin Public Radio is also more than just the talk shows. I think some people think that it's just this show and the talk shows on the Ideas Network. There's certainly the news magazines from NPR, I know, covered that extensively. And mm-hmm. and you can get more information on those programs as well. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, here on the Ideas Network. It is the first Monday of the month, which means it's time for another edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine with WPR Director Mike Crane, talking about the latest on Wisconsin Public Radio programming and operations and events and services, and welcoming your questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Hey, Mike, we have a pledge drive coming up this month, I understand.
We sure do. And one of the things that we've tried to do with the pledge drives is to make them as efficient as possible. So this one's a little bit shorter than it might have been a year or two or three ago. And we're trying to always figure out what's kind of the best mix of different pledge strategies, if you will, to get those pledge drives going. And, you know, we don't raise all our money during the pledge drive. We also have, as everyone hears us talking about, the sustaining pledges and the people who pledge annually, maybe in response to something that comes in the mail, reminding them to renew. But the pledge drives are a big part of our overall strategy for raising the dollars needed to help pay for WPR.
Speaking of dollars and money and Wisconsin Public Radio, I have in front of me a letter from the Legislative Audit Bureau talking about Wisconsin Public Radio's successful audit. What is this all about?
That was reported, I guess, in the Wheeler Report this weekend. And that's one of several audits that are done every year for Wisconsin Public Radio. As you hear on the radio, we often talk about how WPR is a partnership between the Wisconsin Public Radio or Wisconsin Education Association, the ECB, the mm-hmm. Educational Communications Board, and the University of Wisconsin Extension. So the so-called WHA audit, WHA is kind of the state's name for Wisconsin Public Radio, going back a long time in history to when that was the founding station as 9XM. And so what that report is about is the WHA audit, or essentially the audit of the business of WPR on the UW Extension side. And we receive a parallel audit, which is actually done by a private firm for the ECB, and we also received that letter very recently. And same thing, looks really good. And then finally, there's a third audit that's done every year, and that is for the Wisconsin Public Radio Association, which is where your member dollars go before being expended on WPR. And all three of those audits look quite good.
Well, that's good to know. So this is routine, and Wisconsin Public Radio looks good in them.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I think because most of us as citizens think of audits as being related to
the IRS
is going to audit you. This is something different. This is hopefully, and it was in this case, a routine sort of a financial thing that we do. And basically, when you get a good letter from the auditor, it means that it appears based on the tests that they have done that you're running a clean financial ship. And that's always good news when that's the case. So we're very glad that is.
Sounds good. Let's take some more calls. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have some feedback or a question for Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our next caller is Joan in Williams Bay. Hello, Joan.
Oh, good morning.
Hi, Joan.
I didn't think be on the air, but I have two things to say. One is I enjoy the repeats because if I miss something, I can hear it again. And your programs are such quality programs. I don't know why anyone would object to that. But my little criticism is that I run to grab. I listen to my radio every day, but I run to grab it when this announcement comes on. WPR is everywhere on the line, on the air, in the air, and I just can't stand that. And I don't know what it accomplishes.
Oh, I know exactly the one you mean, and it's always good to hear feedback like that. What the purpose of that particular spot, or actually, it's a set of spots that say the same thing in different voices and so on. The purpose is to encourage people to find our website because it's, especially now that we've relaunched it since last fall, a tremendous resource beyond what you find on the radio. But it brings up a challenge that we always feel, Joan, which is trying to figure out what's the right frequency for talking about anything on the radio. And as you say, it can be great to have a repeat of something that you think of as meaty content, but maybe not so much when you're hearing the same announcement over and over. Yeah.
Thank you, Joan. Rebecca,
thanks for the call.
In Sun Prairie. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi. I really enjoy Wisconsin Public Radio so much, and I thank you for all the programs you guys put together. I listen quite to children, and we listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and you know, things like that. But I have yet to really find a program that is geared specifically for children or that families can listen together, other than perhaps maybe like the Exploring Music program you have on at nights. But nothing really specifically designated for children. And so I guess I'm encouraging you to explore that, maybe, reporting by children for children or by adults for topics that interest children, things of that sort.
Yeah, I think that's an idea that periodically stations have tried to pull that off. And one of the challenges has been that in the list of things that you're trying to find resources for, it tends to kind of fall off the cliff. And I think one of the reasons is that radio stations tend to do best when they focus their target audience, if you will. And so I'm really thrilled to know, Rebecca, that you find some programs you'll listen to with the kids. I know we tortured our kids with lots of public radio when they were growing up. And when my daughter became a member of her public radio station down in Florida, we said, yes, we got her. But I think that we've tended as public broadcasting to focus our target of programs for kids on the television. And we do, of course, have a lot of resources, especially for young kids, and through the Wisconsin Media Lab, a lot of things that they can view as part of their schooling. Not much on the radio, though. You're absolutely right, and that's a tough one.
Yeah. For example, Mike, there are no nationally syndicated radio shows that are specifically geared for a child.
No, that's right. Actually, when I was at a station in Vermont a long time ago, we had a really wonderful series that we carried called Rabbit Ears Radio that went away after
that,
a number of years. And that was a really wonderful attempt to do basically literature for children on the radio. And then we had a local version of that that we did as well called Camel's Hump Radio, which was related to the Tall Mountain in Wisconsin, or I'm sorry, in Vermont, Camel's Hump Mountain, and in terms of the name. And again, that was an effort that went for a while, but it's also typically pretty hard to raise money for those things, and that one went away as well.
Well, but families can certainly enjoy things on Wisconsin Public Radio, like at least we hear people enjoy old-time radio drama that the kids like to hear, to listen along with the folks to that.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, some of the youngest listeners call in to Norman during pledge drives and so on and let them know how much they appreciate it. But I think, it brings up a really interesting thing for me, which is this question of media literacy. I love the idea of parents co-listening, because I would bet that, Rebecca, you probably have conversations with your kids about what they're hearing, and that's terrific, because those kinds of conversations can help kids to be smarter media consumers, to know when what is the messaging, why is there something we're hearing or watching being sent to us, and what is it trying to accomplish?
But it'd be interesting to think about training kid reporters to report for kids.
Yeah, in fact, there are a few efforts, and you hear some of this on All Things Considered on the other network, by the way, and that is that there are programs like the Radio Rookies program at WNYC. So certainly stations have found some ways to sustain those efforts, and we really do think about that. It hasn't been something we've been able to get to.
Thanks, Rebecca, for the call. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Mondays with Mike. The first Monday of each month, Mike usually steps by with the news about Wisconsin Public Radio and answers your questions about Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Nancy sends an email. You have wonderful programming, but I wish you would include the Diane Rehm Show. It's one of the most informative programs out there. Mm-hmm. So what about Diane Rehm, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, that is always the dilemma, isn't it? There are more programs available to us than we're able to put on. You know, we have something truly unique in the Ideas Network, and having 9.5 hours a day of original programming that's originated right here in Wisconsin. And I'm not sure what we would take off to put on the Diane Rehm Show. That's the challenge. Let's say it was the other nationally distributed program we have on coming up at 9 o'clock, On Point. Well, then we'd miss On Point. And so that's been our dilemma there. I certainly do understand why people would like Diane Rehm. It's a good show.
Mm-hmm. Our next caller is Gary in Ripon. Hello, Gary.
Good morning. I guess my comment is, perhaps you should be able, you know, public radio still has to break even, and perhaps you should be a little more forthcoming about how money does to some extent influence what programs are on.
Tell me more what you mean by that, because that's a kind of a broad thought. What is it you're concerned about?
Well, let me just say my other.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Thing, and that is that. I miss Gian Gomeshi at 5 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
and I miss Wait, Don't Tell Me at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning, because I never listen to it at noon. And the Central Time show seems like kind of a, I don't like the show at all. It seems like a kind of a junky commercial show that...
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, conceptually, Central Time is meant to give us an opportunity to cover more topics than we're able to in hour-long talk shows. That's why it's broken up into more topics, that sort of thing. Because there are some things that you really want to be able to talk about on the Ideas Network, but maybe don't deserve a full hour-long conversation, and yet they're really interesting. So that's the concept, and I'm sorry that that doesn't meet your interest. I do want to get back to your question about the more forthcoming about money influence. What is it that you're concerned about that you don't hear?
Well, I mean, when you drop a show or you pick up a show or you change a show.
Uh-huh.
And
you're thinking
Well, I mean, if you're producing a show that you hope to syndicate on at least a national public radio, I assume part of the motivation is because it brings in some money.
Well, yes and no. Honestly, the national shows that we do certainly bring in talent and skill, but... most of the time, national shows don't make money for stations, and that's been really the challenge. And I'm talking net. I mean, mm-hmm. certainly we do receive some carriage fees, they call them, for the national shows that we offer through Public Radio International, but they don't fully cover our costs. So it might seem that way, but it really is tough for us to find a way to make money at that. In part, that Gary, that's because the national shows typically require more resources to be of interest to other stations than we're even able to put into some of our local shows.
And a show like Central Time was not put on the air to be nationally syndicated.
No, not at all. And I mean, believe me, if there were something we were doing that rose to the occasion of being national and we could help to fund it by doing that, we certainly would think about that. But, you know, I do understand that we try to be transparent and, you know, I would say our program decisions have to consider money in this sense, which is that whether we create the program or we purchase it from NPR or PRI or wherever, there's going to be a cost associated with it. But certainly our attempt is to arrive at an effective program schedule that is affordable with the resources that we think we'll be able to arrive at. And if that's an influence of money, it certainly is the case. But maybe you're familiar, Joy, with the term vanity press. You know, that's the idea of publishing your own work because you're not able to convince a book firm to publish it. And there are many cases where the national programs amount to a kind of a vanity press where you're proud to call it a national program, but it's not necessarily making money for that particular station.
Yeah, and Gary, for example, thought that he missed Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me when it used to be on Sunday mornings at 7. I happen to know that On Your Money, a show that we mm-hmm. will be doing tomorrow at this time with financial planner Kevin McKinley, is now repeated on Sunday mornings at 7. That decision, Mike, from my understanding, was made because it is it does well with audience. It does well in terms of listeners who mm-hmm. who listen and listeners who contribute to the program. That was thought, let's give weekend listeners another opportunity to hear this show.
Well, and show, ironically, yeah. that was when it was first on
right.
a number of years ago. And so I think some of the thinking that we had was that we were in a different form because it was with a different co-host and it was actually created in our Eau Claire offices in the original time rather than across the network as we do now. But that was the thinking there. And, you know, I've had many conversations, including a few today, of people disappointed with our schedule in one or another way. And we've talked about this many times on this show, that the challenge is every one of us has our own listening habits and listening life, and trying to come up with the best schedule that suits the most people is an ongoing challenge.
But I would go further to say that if for some reason a programming change like On Your Money on Sunday mornings or anything else for that matter is not serving our audience, if we see that listeners aren't there or they go away, all that is evaluated, and maybe the change won't remain if people aren't listening.
Well, that's right. Another part of the money equation is, one way of thinking of it is that listening causes member support. That if there is a science about human beings on this, it would be that the more often someone comes back to public radio, the more likely they are to become a member. And so we're certainly influenced in creating the schedule by trying to make sure that a lot of people listen and that they are enjoying what they get. And that's also an ongoing challenge.
And if a listener, any listener, misses a show that used to be on, like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we have it on other places. But you can also listen to a lot of these national shows online, can't you, Mike?
Well, you certainly can. Yeah. And in fact, this is a dilemma for us, yeah. right? Because the fact that you can listen to almost anything online if you work at finding it, and sometimes it's pretty easy in some cases to find it, that could be taking listening away mm-hmm. from the radio. And one thing I think of, for instance, is that Ira Glass has been very successful with the This American Life podcast. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, a ton of people listen that way and maybe don't even listen to the radio, but they enjoy that show. And part of the economics of public radio will shift, and we've seen some of this already, when it's possible to deliver programs without using a radio station. And we're actively trying to figure that out with our own stuff, because we have an extensive archive of our programs that we offer for free. And in fact, it was one of the questions we had coming into the show was, it's harder for me to find the archives. Do you still do those? And that's because the website was reorganized. And the answer is yes, we do. Typically, if you're just looking around, you would find it by finding the individual show. So the Joy Cardine Show page has your most recent archives. But if you can't get enough of them, we do have a they call it the URL, the address, the web address to get to it. It's wpr.org/archives, and that will take you to the complete list of archives.
Well, let's take a quick break, and then more calls for Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is Mondays with Mike here on the Ideas Network. It's the first Monday of the month, so that means it's time for Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine with Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, to talk with you about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. What is new? What's in the works? What's on your mind? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Here's a comment from our listener's log, Mike. I am outraged that you use Earthbound Expeditions for WPR travel. I was outraged to find that their address is in Washington. Why couldn't you find a travel agency in Wisconsin? That's beyond me, and it's a disgrace. I am very upset by this.
Oh, well, sorry that they're disgraced. We do have, as a travel partner, Holiday Vacations that has their base in Eau Claire. And yeah. Actually, I'm planning on going on a trip as the host from the station with Holiday Vacations going to New York City in April. And there's information at WPR.org/travel about the Holiday Vacations and also the Earthbound Vacations. And they're both just incredible vendors. They do a great job. And I'd say part of what we're trying to do is to find what are the perfect trips for Wisconsin Public Radio supporters to go on, because these are friendraisers and fundraisers for WPR. And so we have a mix of, in this case, two vendors, and we'd certainly have discussed whether to consider more. But that's the basis of that. And Earthbound trips tend to be a little bit more customized, smaller travel, and also more expensive on balance. And so they have a sort of a different style of conducting their trips. But both look like they're getting really good reaction from the people traveling.
Yeah, that looks good. In fact, I think Larry Mueller is going on a gardening-type trip to Hawaii in the summertime. And mm-hmm. I bring that up because Garden Expo is coming up this coming weekend.
That's right, and Larry will be there. I think it's Saturday morning, and we'll have a double booth at the Garden Expo. And I know people come from all over, so if you do go to the Garden Expo, be sure to stop by the WPR table, and I'm sure we'll have some freebies there for you and an opportunity to meet some of our staff and volunteers.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be there one of the days, but I don't know which day. I was off last week, so I didn't firm that up, but Garden Expo next weekend, the 7th through the 9th. Our next caller is Chris in Milwaukee. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. Mike, you bring back memories of having my kids listening in the car, but it paid off because they now are listeners.
You got them, too. That's terrific, Miss Chris.
But I want to go back to Rebecca's concern about children's program. It happens to be a concern of mine, too. The programs now on radio and our television don't really give the imagination the push they ought to have. Rebecca, I don't know how old you are, but I used to be on a show from Milwaukee, Let's Talk It Over with Miss Chris, and Fairy Tales from Around the World. And it would be wonderful if Chapter a Day would incorporate some kind of maybe one day a week or somehow incorporate children's stories so that kids started using their imagination. But, Joy, I miss Ed Garvey and the humor in your Friday morning show. I know he's been ill, but I hope he'll be on again.
Oh, sure he will, yes.
I have a concern about Milwaukee kind of being a stepchild. Kathleen Dunn is the only person left from Milwaukee who's on your series, and I hope she goes on forever. She's so good. But when she does, will a person be chosen, and will Milwaukee be vibrant, or will it all resort back to Madison? And then my third concern is, if someone, what is the conflict of interest? Is there one? For example, if a huge corporation is a great funder or a private person is, and then they're in the news, because they're a funder, are they then excluded from being in the news?
Thank you,
yeah,
Chris.
So I'll get to both of the major questions there, Ms. Chris. I don't want to speculate on when anybody will retire. You know, Kathleen could, she's very vital, as you know, and could be doing the show for a very long time to come. I don't really know. And, you know, I, of course, we all think of that as our colleagues get older. Larry Mueller has been on Wisconsin Public Radio since before we called it that, mm-hmm. in 1967, and he seems to be going strong, and I'm thrilled that that's the case in both. But, of course, we just talked about how Jim Fleming is not going to be doing To the Best of Our Knowledge anymore, although we'll still do Chapter a Day. And so I understand why that's on your mind, and I really can't answer exactly what we might do maybe 5 or 10 years from now. I don't know. And one thing that will certainly influence any decision we make is what are the ongoing business costs of doing those things. But that said, we have made a long-term commitment to all of our regional offices and creating program content there. Chuck Kornbach, our reporter, does a ton of news out of Milwaukee, and I expect will continue to do so. And so that's about all I think I could say there. As for the you know, what is the influence of a corporate sponsor on our news, it really should be no influence either way. That's our goal. What we talk about internally, and we've actually tried to figure out some ways we might talk about this on the radio or in our newsletters, is that we operate, and I'd say this is editorial, not just news reporting, but also the selections of guests on talk shows and that sort of thing. We talk about there being a firewall between the fundraising and the production of programs and content. What we mean by that firewall is that we do not allow a corporation to influence what stories a news reporter would select. It wouldn't be right, which I'm sure everyone would agree with, and we don't. And what that does mean sometimes is that you'll have a corporate supporter announced somewhere nearby a news story that might not be flattering to them. And we do our best to make sure that firewall operates very actively so that our reporters can feel independent to do their work and that our talk show hosts can select the topics they think are appropriate.
Thank you, Chris. Our listener log has a somewhat related item when it comes to, I guess, corporate underwriting. I have been getting emails that say I should tell NPR not to air fracking ads that are supported by one of their donors. I have never heard these ads. Are they there? What's the story?
That's not a lot of detail for me to go on. So the best I could do is guess that it probably is the spot that we hear sometimes for thinkaboutit.org, which is a website created by an American Gas Manufacturers Alliance. I'm forgetting the exact name. But certainly, if there's something that you hear, whatever it is, whether it's program content or underwriting, get informed about it. And if you think it's not right, let NPR know. If it's coming from NPR, let us know if it's coming from us. And, you know, typically on any website, npr.org or wpr.org, there is a way to get in touch directly and let people know at that producing organization what you think of what they're doing.
And let me just say that if there is or isn't some sort of corporate support of fracking, we're going to be doing talk shows that are on
absolutely,
on the issue.
Yeah.
That's not going to stop us in one way or the other.
Well, I think, you know, although the fracking isn't occurring in Wisconsin, the fact that we apparently have the perfect sand mm-hmm. for that process means that it's going to be in our news for years to come.
Lucy in La Crosse is with us. Hello, Lucy.
I just love your Garrison Keillor show, and I wish that was on more than one time. And also, I'm legally blind, and I love listening to your chapter of the day. And I wish that you had more words, because the word ones help you to broaden your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And also, your money show that's on Tuesdays mornings, I like that one repeated. I like some of the shows that are repeated, and thank you very much.
Well, thanks for the call, Lucy. It sounds like you're a big fan of Wisconsin Public Radio, and glad that you're finding a lot that's of value. We do try, and you know, I think if we could do it, We even have three or four more stations worth of the great stuff that's out there because there's just so much that's good and worth listening to from public radio. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Lucy. And I also have here that she wanted to ask, will People's Pharmacy stay at 6 o'clock on Saturdays? It's there now.
I suspect maybe that came up because I was mentioning something on the other network on Saturdays.
Yeah.
But that's our current plan.
We have Dave in Madison next. Hello, Dave.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Dave.
I can really appreciate the challenges you must face with so many dedicated listeners with different preferences. And, for example, I love Central Time, and I'm really glad to hear On Your Money repeated. And I wasn't a big fan of Gian Gomeshi's show. So, you have people that have lots of different preferences. But my call actually is a question about Simply Folk,
uh-huh,
and the online content that you have for that show. I was curious why, when you go to the to listen to a previously broadcast show, I can understand not being allowed to download a copy, of podcasts because there's original material. But why is it that you have to listen to the whole show from start to finish and can't fast forward? For example, there was a local artist that I really think is fantastic on in the third hour of the show.
Uh-huh.
And to listen to it rebroadcast, I have to listen to 2 hours of Simply Folk, which is great, but I have to listen to those 2 full hours before I can get to the third hour that I wanted to actually listen to. Is there a reason for that or a rule?
There may be. There's sort of two things that are on my mind. One, there may be a technical issue with the player that we offer. I'm not sure of that. If the other issue is related, and it's worth talking about in any case, then it might be that. And that is that specifically with music shows, there are very specific legal restrictions in terms of what we can do online, and they're part of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act from now many years ago. And they require, in the case of music shows, that they're of at least 5 hours in length, which means that for us to assemble that for Simply Folk, we assemble last week's and this week's show and then roll that over. So if you were to listen to essentially hour 4 of that recording, you'd find the first hour of the last week's show. And I believe that those sorts of rules were related to making it at least theoretically impossible for people to record those and therefore not buy the recordings, because there was significant influence from the recording industry in that particular part of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. Whether that's related to the being able or not to fast forward through, I'm not 100% sure, but it's something we'll certainly look into. I'll make a note of that. And Dave, if you want to get a specific answer on that, you might just go ahead and send an email to our listener line and ask them that specific question. Or you could even write directly to webmaster@wpr.org and they can give you an idea of what's going on there.
Thank you very much, Dave. One last question from a listener was whether or not the Live from the Chazen program is still going on, and is Laurie Skelton still hosting?
Yes, and I think maybe they just noticed it wasn't there because we were in the season between, and it was back this Sunday, so probably that question came before the Sunday broadcast, and so it's back for a couple months now.
And in our final minute, Mike, is there anything else that we should let listeners know about?
There always is, but I want to reiterate the opportunity to watch Wisconsin Life tonight on public television. Just really excited by that opportunity to learn more about the really interesting people of our state. And that is a production that is jointly worked on by public television and public radio.
And I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward, too, to talking with Mike once again on the first Monday in March or somewhere around then. Thanks very much for being here, Mike.
Thanks.
Mike Crane, director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing and directing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. Tomorrow at this time, it's another edition of On Your Money. Financial planner Kevin McKinley will be here with answers to your personal finance questions. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.